Good morning and welcome to Ovaries Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study Meeting. My name is Susan, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Wednesday, July 17th, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in More About Alcoholism, page 32, the second paragraph, 14th, line down from the beginning of the paragraph. Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle, through to the end of that paragraph on page 33, and was dead within 4 years. Today's readers are Yvonne A., who will kindly read the text for us, Juanice N., A Vision for You, and Shelley E. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern, are 21,575. And for Wednesday, July 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern, the reference number is 21,581. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy B., who's located in Oklahoma, to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm from Oklahoma, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us.
Alexa,
sanity.
Play calming music for my dog.
Please, star one to mute everybody other than Kathy. Sorry about that, Kathy. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. Pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. Next, I will ask Deborah L.T., located in Naples, Florida, to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Deborah.
Good morning. This is Deborah L.T., a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater from beautiful Naples, Florida. Here are the 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups as or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Deborah. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. Page 32, we're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph, 14th line, 1-4, down from the beginning of the paragraph where it says, out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. And we're going to read through to the end of that paragraph on page 33. And end with dead within 4 years. I will now ask Yvonne A. to please unmute and join us and begin reading and sharing. Thank you, Yvonne.
And thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. In 2 months, he was in hospital, puzzled and humiliated. He tried to regulate his drinking for a while, making several trips to the hospital meantime. Then gathering all his forces, he attempted to stop altogether and found that he could not. Every means of solving his problem, which money could buy, was at his disposal. Every attempt failed. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and was dead within 4 years. Wow. Well, as Susan mentioned to me, this story did not end well for him, and I have no doubt that my story would not have ended well for me either. I'm in my early 60s now. I have had this disease from a very, very early age, and so I've never had the success at controlling it for a long period of time like this man of 30 did, but I know that humiliation and the puzzlement of not being able to stay stopped, of trying everything I thought I had at my disposal to just ramp up that willpower, make myself do it. And it wasn't until I got into OA and heard the doctor's opinion that I realized I was trying to control a disease that was beyond my human power to control. I had no more success trying to manage it than I would have trying to will myself not to have diabetes or will myself not to have cancer. It just was not going to work. And I had practical experience in this before I came in the rooms. I belonged to another program, didn't eat flour and sugar. And after 30 days there, I thought, oh, surely I must be able to have a little bit now. That trip back into the sugar and flour kept me unrecovered. Well, it was unrecovered period then, but in the food for another 7 months, regardless of how hard I tried, I could not stay stopped for any period of time. I got stopped again somehow, some way after 7 months, and that time it lasted 11 months. And then I was back on the downslide again. So I have complete empathy for the position he was in. I've been there many times myself. And that's why I am just so grateful and so blessed to be in this program. It's opened my eyes to what the problem was. I've stopped trying to control it and surrendered to this program, to the 12 steps, to a higher power. I look to my fellows for support instead of thinking I can do it all on my own. And yet I have no doubt that just because I'm in recovery does not mean that this disease is cured within me. It is there. I heard early on in the rooms, your disease is in the background, in the parking lot, doing push-ups while you are recovered, waiting for an opportunity to step back through the door. And I have no doubt that if it does get the opportunity, I have no idea. I don't know, 1 week, 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, how long it would be before I could find recovery again. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Yvonne A. in BC, Canada. So let me just remind you where we are in case you came in halfway. We're continuing on in More About Alcoholism, page 32, and we're finishing up the story about the man of 30, starting 14 lines down. Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. Through to the end of that paragraph on page 33, was dead within 4 years. So just that chunk today. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every Thursday. So if you shared yesterday, today is not three, in order that others might share their experiences too. When you unmute to share, if you can please give me name, last initial, and where you're calling from. And if for some reason I missed where you're calling from, if you could please state that when you do share. So, who would like to share with us this morning?
Hi, this is Jeannie. May I share?
You can, Jeannie. One moment, please. And I know you're in New Jersey because we spoke earlier.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Who else would like to join Jeannie?
Juanice,
thank you.
Liz A. from California.
Liz, hi, Liz. Sorry. Hi, good morning.
Okay. Hi.
Gloria
Julie P.
I hear Gloria and Julie P. Gloria, if you can give me your last initial and where you're calling from.
Sure. H from Charlotte.
Charlotte, I've been to Charlotte. And Julie, where are you calling in from?
Minnesota.
Thank you. Anyone else on this first round, or are we all digesting right now? All right, let's pause there. We have Jeannie in New Jersey. Jeannie, you'll share your last initial when you introduce yourself. Juanice N. in Los Angeles. Liz A. in Los Angeles. Gloria H. in Charlotte, and Julie P. in Minnesota. So if everybody other than Jeannie can mute their lines, Jeannie, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Jeannie N. for Nancy from New Jersey, a recovering compulsive overeater. Even though he was sober for 20 years, the disease was still progressing. It's a very progressive disease. Once I start, I can't stop. I had abstinence for 14, 15 months in this program, and I broke it. And it took me 2 months to get back, which for me is not bad, because once I had 15 years of abstinence many, many years ago, and it took me 2 years to get back. It just doesn't matter how long you're sober, how long he was sober. He had no memory of other times that picking up that one drink could get him drunk, and I could really, really relate to that. And and because that mental switch kept coming in, you know. So he white knuckled it for a while there, but it didn't take long. It didn't take long for him to, I forget what they said, I think a few months. It didn't take long for him to start drinking again. And it reminds me that all we have is a day at a time. That's it. And that's contingent on our spirituality. I am so grateful to be recovering now, but you know, what it takes, only thing that will help us recover, is God and the steps and my fellows. I get a little nervous when I share, but I'm forcing myself, and I'm really thankful that I could share, and thankful to all of you for your help. Thank you. God bless. Thank you all for incoming service.
Thank you, Jenny N. in New Jersey. Next up, Juanice N. in Los Angeles. Good morning, Juanice.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Juanice N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I have lived this thinking so many times in my life, and just not understanding what the whole program was about. So many times I came into OA determined that I was, you know, this was it. This is it. It's over with, and I mean it, and I'm not going to ever go back again. You know, whatever it is I need to do, just like the man said, he determined, you know, whatever it is I need to do to not continue to kill myself with food this way, I'm willing to do it. And I came into food programs without being given, as someone that I so dearly care about says all the time, without being given the right information, knowing what it was about, that it was a spiritual disease that needed a spiritual solution. There you go, Papa. Okay. Okay, 1 minute, baby, please. And so, sorry about that, my grandson. Okay, Susan. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm going to have to pass. Okay, so sorry.
Thank you, Wani. Thank you. That's okay. Thank you so much. Next up, I have Liz A. in Los Angeles, Southern California. Thank you, Liz.
Good morning. May I be heard?
You can.
Okay, great. Thank you, Susan, for your service, continuing service all the time. It's amazing. And everyone who shared. For me, let's see, this whole chapter, okay, is so necessary for me, because I am the type of person that says, I'm different. You know, in your case, yes, this is, you know, this is true for all of you. But in my case, I'm different. And indeed, I was different. But this particular man, this particular example, is me. I stayed abstinent, as you will, in the program, in the food plan that I was in for over 30 years. I'm not saying 25, 30. Okay, I was even able to dabble in a little bit of sugar. Yes, I always wanted a little more after that, but I controlled it. When COVID hit, my disease, someone shared, my disease was doing push-ups in the parking lot. So when COVID hit, this cunning disease came through. Though it had been in hibernation, reared its ugly head, and within 3 months, okay, I could not stop eating. I could not stop binging every single night. And the denial was incredible because I had just done it for over 30 years. How could it be? The denial was so strong. And so, therefore, I am just so glad that this particular example is included in the paragraph where I can relate that I can be stark raving abstinent for 25 years and die in 4. It would probably take me 3 because I'd kill myself. And, gosh, I guess with that, I shall pass and listen to what you ladies have to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. in Los Angeles. Next up, we have Gloria H. from Charlotte. Hello, Gloria.
Yes, I'm here, and I love your accent. When I read these passages in the book, in it, you know, it's like saying people have other books that they read, such as the Bible and other periodicals that they read, and they kind of know all the words, but do they understand, for me, do I understand what they're saying? And when I was told that I will never be able to, and in my case, eat as I did before, you know, that idea has to be smashed. I have to be as desperate as a dying man, you know. And with this here, I understand exactly. I mean, I just came down from New York 11 years ago, whatever. I came down in 2014, so 10 years. And I was going to meetings maybe 4 or 5 times a week religiously. And no one could ever say to me that, you know, I would not be weighing and measuring and doing what I was supposed to be doing and also working the steps. And, you know, but, you know, was when I came down here, it was almost like if I thought God couldn't see me or I don't have to worry about this, or I started to do half measures, half measures, half measures, you know. And I didn't even want to say how long I've been in this because I went from room to room. I went from OA. I started in OA, which was a revelation. It was a purity revelation. I was in my 20s when I found out about OA. And then I went from OA. Then somebody said, well, if you – and then it became a weight thing. Then I moved to Long Island Howe, and then I moved to FAA, and then I moved to – you know, it was just – you know, but I always knew that it was a God-given, God-blessing program, and that the only solution is, you know, it is a three-legged stool. Like I like to use that one, spiritual, mentally, and emotionally. But the spiritual part is the most important part, because if I'm not a believer, if I don't trust and believe and turn my life and my will over to the care of God, then Gloria is always going to be running the show. And, you know, that circus that I run the show in, it's mayhem, madness, and confusion. So I just know that I have to keep coming back. I have to keep listening, and I have to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand Him, you know. And because I could be this person. I mean, I've been doing this for more than 40 years. I've been doing this since the devil was a boy. And so if I'm recklessly 10 years, like, up and down, because people that know me, they say, oh, you eat so well because you bring your food and this and that. That's not even it. I want them to say, like other people used to say before, what religion are you? You speak so well. You're so kind. You know, other attributes that are more important than what I eat or how I look. They're more important attributes. That's a compliment, that those go in conjunction with one another. Anyway, before I start babbling and I confuse myself, I just want to say I understand perfectly. It's the disease, but it's me, you know. If I'm,
that's time,
I'm the one,
Gloria?
I thought so. I just like to use up all my time, Liz. Thanks again, and I pass.
And that was Gloria H. in Charlotte. Next up, we're going to go to Minnesota. Good morning, Julie P.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am definitely a compulsive overeater, and by the grace of my higher power, and all of you awesome folks on this line, my peeps, I have come to know that that is the truth. And I would definitely be like the man of 30 if I do not keep coming back. I have a note on the bottom of my page that says permanent, progressive, and fatal. And it hasn't been until I continue to sit in these rooms that the awareness keeps unfolding that I chased my disease for over 40 years by so many different things. I never was in the hospital, but I ate White Cross, I did Coke, I did any kind of stimulants that would control my appetite and my weight. And it wasn't until 2022 that I started to understand that I was a compulsive overeater. And hiking 60 miles across an island in the wilderness, and I get to the end, and the first thing I do is stuff my face with desserts. It is so clear to me now that this disease, I will wake up with it every morning. And I am so grateful that there is a solution and that I am not the answer. And my mother killed herself one bite at a time through obesity. She needed a heart valve. She was too obese to have the surgery. And I know that if I do not keep practicing this program one day at a time, I will be in the same place as my mother, needing a sling to be moved when she was in the nursing home. And I'm so grateful for you all to teach me the solution and that I get to wake up this morning and work that solution. And thank you for being here in your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie P. in Minnesota. And before I take the next lineup of names, in case you came in halfway through the meeting, we're continuing on page 32. Second full paragraph, we're finishing up the story about the man of 30, starting 14 lines down. Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. Through to the end of that paragraph on 33, was dead within 4 years. So if this is your third day to share at any vision meeting, if you shared earlier this morning in bright and early when I was asleep, you cannot share again here. So if you can give me your first name, last name, and the state or country you're calling from.
And be in New York.
Pearl, Arizona.
Hold on 1 second.
Tennessee.
Pearl, I got you. And B, I got you. And then there was somebody else.
Tennessee, Tennessee.
Hi, Shana. Hi, good morning. Okay, and Anne, you'll tell us where you're calling from when you share. Who else would like to join this lineup this morning?
Nancy LJ, California.
Yes. Got you. Thank you, Nancy. All right, we're going to stop there. We'll see how we do on time. So I have Anne B, Pearl R, Shanna C, and Nancy LJ. So if everyone other than Anne could mute their lines, and Anne, don't forget to tell us where you're calling from this morning. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Anne B, compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I have been abstinent for 19 years, but I don't like the word recovered. I'm really glad that I signed in today. You know, I find myself getting busy, too busy. I've been doing a lot of service. I'm on the board of the virtual region. But I'm also doing service in another fellowship and in my religious group. And I'm supposedly retired, but, you know, there's not, I have a problem with counting hours in a day, just as I had a problem with counting calories. I don't know how to add up what really takes time. And this program needs to take time. And I need to be reminded that 19 years is not enough to insure me against compulsive overeating. I'm going to an event tonight where there's likely not to be enough food. I'm going out to a medical appointment just when I should be having lunch. And I need to plan that and think about it so that I have time to eat and so that I have the food with me that I need to have. Otherwise, I'm not safe. You know, I can go eat in a restaurant, but then I tend to eat more. So anyway, thank you for reminding me. This is a perfect paragraph for me today, and I will pass.
Thank you, Anne B., located in Westchester, New York. Next, Pearl R. in Arizona. Go ahead, Pearl.
Thank you. This is Pearl R. from Arizona. My grandfather was 650 pounds, and he would tell my mom how to, he was a chef, and he would tell my mom how to make a recipe one time. And when she was a kid, if she messed that recipe up, he used to force her to eat the entire thing, even if it was burnt or whatever. For me, this disease is definitely cunning, baffling, and fatal. I was in complete denial. I was pre-diabetic for many years, and I did not take it serious. I thought, oh, I'm just pre-diabetic. It's no big deal, and I never checked my blood sugars. Well, I ended up finding out that my blood sugar went all the way up to almost 9. And my understanding is after 9, people start losing their eyesight and things get really, really bad. So I am definitely grateful for this program because it saved my life. I was definitely in complete denial about how dangerous and damaging this disease really is. And that I thought I had it all figured out and under control, when in reality, it had me all figured out and it had me under its control. And I was just in a state of complete deceit. But thankfully, today I don't have to live that way. I can be free from that. I could be at peace with the food and I can live a long, happy, healthy life. I don't have to die from this disease. There is hope and there is a way out. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pearl R. in Arizona. Next, we're going to go to Tennessee. Good morning, Shanice.
Good morning, Susan. This is Shanice, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace and mercy and the 12 steps. And so grateful for this meeting. So grateful for your service and those who have shared already. I so identify with the man of 30, you know, because I came in, oh boy, this last time, you know, no one was telling me how fat I was. No one was telling me that, oh my God, you eat so bad. Oh my God, you know, I was suffering internally a lot. Oh God, give me the words to deliver here. So I was suffering so much because I knew that something was wrong. I tried every means of trying to control and enjoy my food because of just the sheer lack of understanding of what compulsive overeating as a disease really was. I didn't quite understand that there are ingredients that once I consume, I cannot stop once I start. And at the same time, I have this mind that says, oh, you know, you can eat it because of the amount of time that you've had away from it. You're normal, like this kind of thing. And I didn't know that those who are not overeaters don't have this battle going on in their heads. I thought that food affected everyone the way that it affected me. And it takes me back to the doctor's opinion on pages XXVIII when it says, you know, we believe and so suggested a few years ago that the action of alcohol or the alcoholic ingredients in food on these chronic compulsive overeaters and manifestation of allergies, this never occurs in the average temperate eater. They can never safely use these alcoholic food ingredients in any form at all once having formed the habit and once found they cannot break it and lost their self-confidence. The reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And then again, on the next page following that, it says, and on page XXS, it says all these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start eating without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only relief we have is entire abstinence. And so this, you know, I identify with this guy here, the man of 30, because I didn't have a lot of the symptoms to start with that a lot of people do. And what's sad is a lot of people do have the symptoms and still the mind is still deluded. You know, and so for me, one of the things that has helped me, I think, more than anything is coming to that understanding that I am never, ever going to be any different than what I am. I'm never not going to be a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. And with that acceptance of that complete defeat, that, I believe, is what has enabled me to accept the program and do what I need to do. And one day at a time, I've been able to stay abstinent, coming up on 4 years. Thanks be to God. Anyway, that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Shana C. in Tennessee. Next, we're going to come back to California. Nancy L. J., please join us.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Ah, boy, desperation. You know, before program, I just relate to the sentence that says, every means of solving his problem, which money could buy, was at his disposal. And that's what I did, boy, was threw money at my problem. And, you know, every diet book, buying all these ingredients of things, you know, and I would work at it for a while and the ingredients would sit there and the shame would just get worse, you know. And then Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem and getting the food and doing that for a while and then the food would sit in a box, you know. And hypnosis. I think it was 2,800 bucks I spent on hypnosis course, and that was 15, 20 years ago. And I went for a few weeks and then just let it go because I didn't want to give up the food, right? I didn't have a program. I was just floundering. But, and then don't even talk about Weight Watchers, you know, doing Weight Watchers and paying that monthly fee and not going or going and trying as hard as I could with all my will. And then before weigh-in, diuretics. I remember I was trying to find a diuretic at CVS and the pharmacist said, may I ask you why you want a diuretic? And I actually told her that I had a weigh-in the next day. And she said, you know, you may want to talk to your doctor about this. And, you know, I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for almost 4 years. So it's like, I just didn't want to give up the food, you know? And, I am so grateful to find this program and it's free, you know, it is absolutely free and, giving to the seventh tradition or to the virtual group or the OA entered group is nothing. And that's completely optional. But, I happily give whatever I can now because this program, this spiritual way of life, is you can't put a price tag on it. And I'm so grateful. And I thank my higher power today and all of you. And I think that's all I got. Thank you for letting me share. I'm Nancy LJ in California. And I'll pass. Thanks, Liz.
Thank you so much. So that was Nancy LJ in California. I think we will have time for three more people. Let's see how we go.
Nancy G, New Jersey.
Nancy G, New Jersey. Thank you, Nancy.
Lorraine M in California.
Lorraine M, California. And one more, and we'll see how we go. All right, so we don't waste time. We have Nancy G from New Jersey and Lorraine N from California. Nancy, why don't you start us off? Thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is Nancy G from New Jersey. I'm on step 4. I'm recovering, and I am a real compulsive overeater. Thank you for letting me share. I just have this burning desire to say and admit, and maybe it's to the newcomer, maybe it's for someone who can lean in to share this experience. Before I didn't believe this story, I didn't understand this story. How could someone who was an alcoholic, who didn't drink for 25 years, right, Mr. Bone Dry, 25 years, how could he start up and it just be dead in 4 years? Not that I aggressively disagreed. I couldn't conceive. So today, I believe, I understand. I've gotten enough experience. I've heard, experience, strength, and hope from the fellow. So I'm in a different place. That set-aside prayer helps me so much. And my third step prayer, it's just amazing. And when I was listening to the reading and listening to others, I thought about a few lines, gathering all his forces. He has affluence. So he's got money, he's got forces, and these are the very things that I'm learning in the beginning of the program with a nice, strong cornerstone, a nice, strong foundation. Thank you, God and OA and the Big Book, that I'm understanding that. I'm accepting that. I'm surrendering to trying to control something that I'm bodily and mentally unable to. And that's what this man of 30 was. Bodily and mentally, he was an alcoholic through and through. So when he finally picked it up, the allergy was there. That is my truth. So thank you for letting me share. And I'm so grateful for the line, for all the service. You know, I'd never know these things. And I wouldn't be able to save my life and live a good life and hopefully help others. So thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nancy G. in New Jersey. Next, Lorraine N. in California. Hello, Lorraine.
Good morning. This is Lorraine M. in California. I am in recovery. I came back at the end of February. So just worked through the steps. And really grateful that this program is here and everyone that makes it happen and shares is also here, because I couldn't do it without every aspect of the program. It's amazing to me that this gentleman actually was abstinent for 25 years, and it didn't sound as though he had the support that we have today or a connection with the higher power that we have today. But one of the thoughts that occurred to me as we were reading this that had never occurred to me before was the fact that he sits down and he takes off his slippers. He's relaxing. And for me in my program, if I relax, that means that maybe I didn't measure my food today. I just kind of, you know, did a ballpark figure that was 4 ounces or whatever. Did I not make my phone calls today? Did I not connect with higher power today or throughout the day? And that's something that I just started doing, being able to relax during the day and say, oh, wait a minute, what am I going to do here, higher power? You know, taking that pause to make that connection. And so for me, this reminds me not to relax my program, which is kind of strange because the program itself makes me humble, makes me, you know, be relaxed in my mind and to not to worry. But I have to take that time to do it. Otherwise, yeah, I'm going to take off the slippers. And because I know this disease is always going to be here and has a lot of little tricks to manipulate me and get in my mind and take over and lead me down the path of death, that I'm going to go ahead and stay in the program. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Lorraine M. in California. Okay, it looks like we have a wee bit more time, so I can take one or two names and see how we go. Star one to unmute if you'd like to share on the end of this paragraph about the man of 30, starting with out came his carpet slippers in a bottle, through to was dead within 4 years. Star one, anyone?
Justine, compulsive overeater in Oregon. Justine F. in Oregon.
Great. 1 second, Justine. Let me see if anybody else wants to join you. Anyone else? Last chance.
Sorry, if you can catch your first name.
Irini.
Katie?
Irini. I-R-I-N-I.
Oh, thank you, Irini. Thank you. Good morning. Sorry. Awful when I know people and they get your names wrong. All right. Justine, take it away.
Thank you. I'm Justine, compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I appreciate this meeting this morning. I'm just back from relapse, and I had just, it seems like very little time, but it felt amazing to me. I had 3 months of freedom from this active disease, and I was doing all the things we do to be in recovery. And then I decided, because I have that mental twist, I decided to eat like the people around me. And then, you know, within a week, I had my head in the toilet and I was wanting to die. That goes very quickly for me. And that was in May and June have been this nightmare. And I'm just coming out of it. And I'm grateful to a sponsor working with me into this line, the recovery that you all share, and that I'm still alive to have the chance to recover. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Irini, I think we have about 2 minutes. I'll let you know when we have to stop. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Irini N. I'm calling from New York City. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph hits hard. In some respects, the 12 steps are able to help me clean up a lot of the past in a short amount of time, and the disease can get bad quickly. Something about the demise within 4 years seems quick, but 4 years of living in that difficulty feels like forever. I guess the one thing that I'm taking from today, this paragraph today, and the man of 30 is how quickly and progressive this disease is. And I was listening to the earlier meeting where people were talking about our spiritual well-being and how quickly we lose our connection when we're in the disease. And I know I've experienced that. So for today, I'll just keep doing my footwork, taking action and listening.
That's time, unfortunately.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irini. Okay, thank you, everybody. So thank you to those who were of service this morning. Our reader, Yvonne A. Juanice is going to read Vision for us in a minute. Shelley, our backup. Stay on for newcomers, Carla C., Jody for announcements. Thank you, Kathy B. and Deborah L.T. for reading the steps and the traditions. We will now close with the reading from the big page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Juanice, would you please take us out with a reading from the big book called A Vision for You?
Thank you so much, Susan. Juanice, compulsive overeater, recovered in California. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.